All right, back on the Young Turks. I'm Cash. We accidentally came back early, at least video wise. You saw me swinging on a Coke. Is that a prank? Swigging? Is that
swig? Yeah, you take a swig.
Take a swig. I don't know about
swigging. Swigging is.
Yeah, earlier today when I was making fun of the Daily Fluffer guys, I accidentally said flummoxing in the middle of my rant, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not a word. It is? Did you look it up?
It means something.
See, yeah. Chikori's our local grammar expert. Weren't you the one that brought up the thing about the Oxford comma, which I still don't know what the fuck that is? Okay, sorry, I'm
angry. Oxford comma,
I hear about
is
it.
Incredibly important.
I don't know exactly what it is, but I get mad just hearing about it because I have a feeling I won't like finding out what it is.
No. Yes. You understand what the Oxford comma is, and you understand its importance. You just never knew it was called an Oxford comma.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I can accept that.
It's just a comma, right?
A comma, but it changes the meaning of the sentence.
Oh,
yeah. And I can't.
I'm not interested.
Good judge, comma of character. Is that an Oxford comma? Chikori?
It's the crucial comma at the end of a clause. So it has
like Santa Claus.
Exactly, like Santa Claus.
Of character.
It's the separating comma between. Let me think of an example.
Sanity.
I'm trying to
insanity.
Think of an example.
Exactly.
Okay, it's hard on the spot. I'm past it.
Jake,
I'm back to not character.
You're instituting these grammatical purity tests. Why can't we just talk?
You know, he tried this once before when he lost control of his syntax.
I hung out last night with my father and my mother, the strippers. My father, my mother, and the strippers. As the second comma there.
Yeah, okay, it's totally lost interest, but thank you. By the way,
I'm really glad we opened this segment
that's
with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I have several things to say, of course, which will lead all the way to 7:30. Number one, this is my favorite kind of show.
It's so good.
I just wish there was a debate. Okay. Like, be tweeting?
No, I love that there's no format and there's no rules. There's no rules right now. We can do whatever we want.
Okay, so this was put together impromptu. So 7 of you heard about it before it happened. By the way, share the stream because we're about to have fun. You know, these get a little outrageous. The reason we like it is because during the regular show, you've got a format, right? You've got stories that you got to get to, one story after another, and there's always time pressure, right, yada yada, right?
That only the person leading the show acknowledges.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. I hear the voices. I read the headlines. I'm like, Bush.
I mean, he doesn't even really acknowledge it when he's leading. What are you talking about?
That's true.
Right. So, anyways, but when we do these extravaganzas, and this is. I mean, when you start with an Oxford comma, you know you're in the middle of an extravaganza.
Some extravaganza.
then
John
we can talk
Carrier
about
agrees.
Yeah, we can talk about anything we want, right? And so it's more freewheeling. And we have stories for you. We have videos for you guys. We're going to show you a lot of the reporters. And obviously, we're doing this to raise money for the journalism drive, which is almost over. It's over on the 29th, so we only have 5 days left, or less.
This is the last. I thought this was like the finale.
No, this is leading up to the finale, but I'm gone during the finale, so.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna bring this up because I think it's important. So while you were away, I guess last week, no, not last week, but the week before, John and I carried most of the show. Mm-hmm. And one of the viewers, one of the viewers was mad at both of us because we weren't like fundraising enough. We weren't bringing it up enough.
Oh, I love you guys.
No, but here's the thing. I respect this fundraiser. It's for something important. I'm going to be clear with you guys about something. I'm not here to fundraise. I'm here to do the news, right? And but it's true. So don't get on me because I'm not fundraising enough for you. That's not my job. Like, I'm happy to do it, but I'm not forced to do it. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm doing it because I want to, and I'm not going to be forced to do it more or less.
Okay. My
response
is. I thought
you were going towards butt warmers there. Like, I don't fundraise, okay?
No.
Edward, where's my butt warmer?
I want a percentage.
I'm just saying that nothing's forced on us by Cenk. And if we feel like we want to mention the fundraiser, we can. But we're here to do the news. Like, that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what matters. So
from my point of view, it's similar. That criticism, I understand if you watch the show and you feel like you didn't see it. But it's the same thing as in the comments on every video we do. Why haven't you talked about X? We did. The video's up. We talked about it yesterday, but they don't. But people don't check. And it's not fans. It's the critics who are like, "Nah, you didn't mention this terror attack." Yes, motherfucker. We just talked about that today. Shut the fuck up. Check the channel. And so they do that about every issue. The critics, because they're trying to pick little holes. Why are you guys avoiding this? We're not avoiding it. We just talked about it. We talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with the fundraising, we did mention it a couple times. We just didn't mention it all the time. So it's in this case, it's not shut the fuck up, motherfuckers. It's just, yeah, it's easy to miss it if you don't watch every minute of every show.
Okay, they didn't talk about it enough. I agree with you guys. Okay, so anyway.
TYTnetwork.com/go.
Nice job, John. There's already 1,000 things to say. I haven't even introduced you guys. Jimmy Dore, John Adler.
I had the same trouble, and that's why I started calling him Johnny Fontaine.
Johnny Fontaine never gets that pot.
That is like his 8th or 9th nickname.
Probably, yeah. And one of my favorites, actually.
So I'm going to tell you all those different things we got going on. But first, I want to thank some donors. $250 from Aaron in Vermont. $270 from Jeremy in Texas. And
$270. You sound like Tom Perez, always with the donors.
And $500 from John in California. But it really, really is true. I will repeat this story for you guys about an early debate we had at the Justice Democrats. And that I was on the wrong side of. So that's fun. Oh. So I'll explain that in a sec. But can I see where we are at tytnetwork.com/go?
You guys, let's see.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. So guys.
We're close. I didn't know. It's been a while since I saw that.
Oh, really? All right. God bless. Yeah. But
That's crazy.
But the thing is, there's only a couple of days left. Like 5 days left. Okay. So I'm definitely worried we're not going to make it to 2. So 1.75 gets you one reporter, but there's so many great reporters out there that we want to bring in. Let's get to 2, please. Anyway, today let's get to 1.75. Mm-hmm. Come on, okay? So I'm going to tell you more about this later, but Savannah Cooper, Stephen Garcia, Adam Westbrook done a great job. Adam's got the desk, Stephen and Savannah's got a couple of the cameras. You can name Dylan's camera, Nomi's camera's got. Anyway, you could name so many of the cameras, including the ones here in the studio and or our chairs. This is still the Nick Wilde chair from when we do the studio fundraising. Unlike Alex Jones, we don't fundraise for all the legal troubles we created ourselves with insane conspiracy theories. Shabani's now suing him
because
he just made up thing about child rapist migrant workers or whatever connected to Shabani, and he's like, no, you
the
don't
yogurt
get
company.
Oh, yeah, you want to know why? He helps refugees. He hires refugees. Okay, he's an immigrant himself. He's from Turkey. He's Kurdish, hence Muslim. Okay. And he's like a successful businessman that doesn't do crony capitalism. We're like, we hate this guy, right? So Chobani's like, all right, dickhead, well, what you said is clearly wrong, and so I'm going to sue you, and then let's see what happens.
But did Alex Jones say it, or did Alex Jones' character actor say it?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, he's doing tough talk.
Yeah.
And today, he's like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take my crazy pills and become a lizard person and fight you, no problem, right? Uh-huh. Later, he'll be reading an apology like a bitch.
Like with Pizzagate.
Okay, like he did exactly with Pizzagate.
Because you can't go around accusing. You can't say defamatory things. That's not protected by under free speech, right? You can't go around calling people rapists when they're not rapists, right? Mm-hmm. And so,
or saying that they hired rapists when they didn't hire rapists.
Exactly. Right?
So, you know, he's in a world of trouble, and eventually his lawyer will make him read a statement.
But that's only, he gets in trouble if he's doing news, right? I mean, he is hilarious. I'm telling you, that's one of the funny, he's right. When I saw that thing, I read an article, you see where he says he's a performance artist. I'm like, why do you even have to explain that?
Yeah, by the way, he's not the only one. You know, Glenn Beck famously said back in the Fox News days that he's a rodeo clown.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to be a music DJ.
Oh, my God.
And he just found a good racket. People.
Remember when he would fake cry all the time? Then he doesn't really do that much anymore. People caught on, so he kind of stopped doing
that. Yeah,
crying is an impressive talent. Like, I couldn't fake cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. These guys are really good performance artists.
They are. They should win an Academy Award.
Betty Davis, they asked her how she would cry. You know, she would say, I'd pull a hair out of my nose. That's what she says.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'm Turkish, man. I'm swarthy. I pull a lot of hair out of my nose. That doesn't work for me.
It doesn't for me anymore. I can't fake cry anymore.
Okay, so back to the Oxford comma, obviously.
Oh, I have an example.
Oh God, no,
no.
Are you ready?
Not you, not you. Sorry.
Okay. All right. No, no, no. Okay.
Well, I had
so,
a reason, but okay, yeah.
So, the Oxford comma in this sentence is after parents. Okay, I love my parents, comma Lady Gaga and Humpty Dumpty. So if you get rid of the comma, it sounds like your parent is Lady Gaga, but the comma indicates you love your parents, which is a separate thing. Lady Gaga, a separate thing, and whatever.
Oh, okay.
So that was a good example. I was trying to think of an example off the top of my head, and I couldn't.
That's good.
So,
no,
yeah.
I continue to be bored by that. And
no, it's super important.
And to this
grammar
minute.
It's so important. It's so important.
Why don't you
important.
Make a song about it so Cenk doesn't get bored?
Yeah, yeah. Well, do some performance art around it. Okay, anyway. But funny enough, I will be going to Oxford, okay, May 25th, to debate Citizens United with the lawyer that won the case of Citizens United.
Oh, now there's a challenge.
Okay. Plus,
Dragon.
On his side, Floyd Abrams, the top First Amendment lawyer in the country. That's at least conventional wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he's in that school of thought. I think a lot of the progressive groups, so-called progressive groups like Common Cause, really just they have board members who've been there for 50 years. They don't want change, right? I think there is a much smaller separate group like Floyd Abrams, and I don't know much about him at all, so maybe I'm unnecessarily giving him the benefit of the doubt, but that have a principled stand in favor of Citizens United. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, they really think that money is speech. I think that's preposterous, yeah. Right? And I plan on bribing him to throw the debate, but it's okay. I'm only talking to him, so there won't be any issues there. So I think he's absolutely wrong, but that's why we're going to have a debate. But there are some folks who had genuine belief. You know that I don't know if you guys know this. Back when Citizens United happened, we had like the greatest debate of all time on the Young Turks: Glenn Greenwald versus Larry Lessig.
Really?
Isn't that super interesting?
Why? Glenn Greenwald
was in favor of Citizens United.
Oh, you just broke my fucking heart.
I know.
Are you serious?
Has he come around or is he still?
I don't know. I haven't checked.
Was he on the show?
Yeah, we had a debate on the show.
No!
I don't remember that.
You know, yeah. No, if people what? Can evolve, Cenk used to be a Republican, Glenn used to be pro-Iraq war, you know, people move.
What? Also,
yeah.
Yeah.
In his
yeah.
book,
I
he said.
The meeting.
Oh, okay. It hurts.
It hurts.
I love you, Glenn.
It was
around.
A super interesting debate. I don't know if we ever put it up on YouTube or if it's on TYT interviews somewhere. Google it. I don't know. See if you can find it. But it was in the days when we used to do radio and the internet. Mm. And so we had more time to do the longer interview type of things.
The third hour was like the interview hour, kind of.
Yeah. And Larry Lessig, of course, was against Citizens United. Well, so, but Glenn doesn't.
It's the only debate he was allowed at, actually.
But Glenn's an honest actor. That's why I bring him up, because he's in that really small subset of honest actors who just genuinely.
I have to watch that debate.
Yeah.
What if he convinces you?
No.
Well, where's.
Impossible.
And you're like, he's making some good points.
Yeah.
Well,
people are calling the show on Twitter, by the way. They're calling it Comma Cause.
Comma Cause.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
That's hilarious. Oxford Comma Cause.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the strongest argument for Citizens United is, you know, what if you have a great idea and nobody ever finds out about it because you don't have the money to get your message out, but somebody with money wants to get your message out and give it to you to help them. So it evens the play. So there's that argument.
I know,
so there is an argument for it.
No, there is, but it's a really weak one if you ask me, because you can get your message out all you want, you just can't affect elections, right? So it doesn't stop you from putting the movie out, the movie that against Hillary Clinton that they were doing back in 2008. That's where Citizens United is a conservative group who's going to do a hatchet job movie on Hillary Clinton. And that's why the case came about in the first place. So you can have the free marketplace of ideas, and no one's more in favor of that than me. I mean, our company's built on it, right? So believe me, I'm in favor of the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, to the hilt, right? But that doesn't make money equal speech. And that doesn't mean that you can spend unlimited money basically buying politicians and affecting elections and et cetera. So that you can, there's, for every right, there is certain parameters. Mm-hmm. And so So like the Second Amendment, people think, no, there are no parameters. I get to have an Uzi, I get to have an RPG and a tank. Grenade launchers in the middle of the street, because that's what James Madison wanted. He loved grenade launchers, and I don't care about the initial, the whole originalism and strict constructionism. It says right there, right before the Oxford comma, that if you're part of a militia, right, as part of a well-regulated militia, I don't give a fuck about that. No. There are, you can say, yeah, you get to have guns, which I don't agree is the proper interpretation of the Second Amendment, but that's the interpretation the Supreme Court took. Even the one I disagree with, that's fine. But even the Supreme Court says you don't get to have a rocket launcher, right? So you get to have a free speech and publicize it and have other people give you money to publicize your opinions all you want, but you can't go and do millions of dollars of expenditures right before an election obviously on the side of one politician to basically buy that politician, right? That's basically your rocket launcher in the middle of Main Street.
Particularly when there's a longstanding trail of evidence that it directly leads to policy benefiting the people that donated the money.
Yeah.
And then the Supreme Court tries to pretend as if that's not actual corruption.
Yeah, and it says it's not even the appearance of corruption.
Exactly.
You know,
which isn't just wrong, it's insulting.
Yeah, it's preposterous. 93% of Americans say that politicians support their donors over their voters. 93%. And isn't it amazing, in Washington and in New York, the media centers and politics, they're like, it's an outrageous and offensive thought that politicians would take that money and support their donors over their voters. Outrageous.
Why do they think the donors are giving the money? Why do they think they do it if they don't get anything for it?
First of all,
you're good American.
I saw a rocket launcher on Cinemax last night. It was fantastic. Second,
did you have your rocket pocket with you?
Do you know how many Congress people don't take corporate super PAC money? Do you know how many? Do you know?
I believe it's one.
Oh, I thought it was six.
Oh, is it six?
I thought it was six. I was told this by Ro Khanna, who's a congressman from Silicon Valley.
Oh, then he would know better. I thought he was the one.
So he doesn't take any.
Yeah.
Right. And he said there's five other, and two of them are conservatives. Isn't that something?
We should check that.
So yeah. I will check that. He named them. I can't remember any of their names.
Yeah. Ro Khanna's amazing.
He is amazing.
Yeah.
That guy, I met him last night. He came down to do the show, and he's a real deal progressive.
Real deal.
And he's not afraid to call out the corporate Democrats. And he's just like, he's like, who could be, when they say, hey, we're for the middle class, he says, who's not for the middle class? Everybody's for the middle class. Yeah. So he's the real, and he's actually submitting a resolution on May 21st, the California Democratic Convention. And he can't even find a sponsor to co-sponsor it with, to get corporate money out of. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
When they talk about a purity test, that is so infected, right? It's that you're just trying to clean out a little bit of an infection. It's different than, I don't need it to be pure. We need to get the infection out.
Yeah.
Are you sure Glenn Greenwald supported? I just tweeted him. I don't want anyone to think I'm rude and texting, but I did tweet him just to see if he's changed his mind. I hate Twitter. This is like the first time I've really used Twitter in a long time.
I don't know all of Glenn's positions on every issue, but he has taken issue in the past with the designation that people give him politically.
They pitch him
as this down the line like progressive.
I know. And to be fair, like there have been issues. What?
I assume you're making the reference that
he's a classic liberal, which means he's really a conservative libertarian.
Okay.
Probably in the middle.
Who doesn't like the sound of it? Because it sounds really bad. And we're not talking about Glenn.
Okay. I love
Jimmy.
Okay.
Classic.
There have been things that I've disagreed with him on. There are things that I've disagreed with him on in the past, and that's fine. But like Citizens United is that's a big deal.
Okay.
Like I am shook.
Okay, everything's going to be okay.
But we're going to check it.
It's like he's in that tiny percentage. And people who are generally great guys and great journalists are allowed to be wrong from time to time. Or allowed to disagree from time to time.
They have to be right all the time. Right.
Purity test for journalists.
I was going to mention something I was wrong about. What was I wrong about?
Democrats.
Oh, yeah, Justice Democrats. Right. So this is interesting. You'll see that... So when we started Just Democrats, we had a debate as to whether we should allow big donors. Now that sounds funny, right? Like, why would we?
But my, it's antithetical to the mission statement of Justice Democrats.
Yeah, so I was a schmuck who favored, who argued in favor of it, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so this is an internal meeting that I'm sharing with you for no reason. Okay, except that that's what we do. So the other guys are from Bernie's campaign. Shoika Chakrabarty is the executive director. What kind of party? Chakrabarty. And
wow,
wow,
the best kind of.
Such a cliched joke.
Never happened before.
I make that joke to him, don't worry. Okay. And Zach Exley from Bernie Sanders' campaign, etc. And so I said to him, like, for example, Wolfpack will take big donations, and we don't get any, but we would. And when people say, "Oh, that's ironic," like recently Wolfpack spent $50,000 on that race in Connecticut, where we made up the 26-point, you know, we made a 26-point difference. We didn't win, but it was an amazing show of strength, right? And people are like, "Oh, you're spending money in politics to get money out of politics." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." So if you don't want me to spend money in your race, get money out of politics.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that for irony, right?
Also,
it's intended irony.
You want to spend the last money in politics.
That's right. Okay, so if you don't like me spending the money in politics, there's one easy way to fix that. Okay, so that's why I don't mind taking big money. I think corporate money is different, but big money for Wolfpack. So I said, guys, if people like let's say somebody wants to come along and give us $10 million. What are we going to say? No, that seems like.
And also, give you $10 million, that can make a big difference. Get the money out of politics. Like, it's not $10 million to like ignore climate change.
Yeah. Or,
you know.
So now, but in the context of Justice Democrats, it's a little different because you lose the intended irony of Wolfpack.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
right. So Wolfpack does do it, and it's but Just Democrats doesn't because they won the debate. So
well, the danger, and I'm assuming is what was argued on the other side, is that there have been organizations, not with that particular goal, but lofty progressive goals that take the money. It's you know, it's like a pragmatic step, and then you know maybe you moderate your message a little bit, and maybe you don't push just as hard. Maybe you slow down a little bit. That's the fear, is that groups maybe that we're feuding with right now started off with these big goals, but then they started to meet people and they make connections. And then, oh, well, should you really do this? Well, why don't we go easy on this guy?
Look, here's
that's the fear, I guess.
Here's $10 million. Yes. You can primary Claire McCaskill, but not Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like that?
So, no. So that's an easy one, because we'd be like, oh yeah, give us $10 million. Now we're fucking with you. We're gonna primary Chuck Schumer. Like no. In all honesty, we wouldn't allow string. My argument was we're not gonna allow strings attached. If you allow strings attached, then John's absolutely right, and everybody knows that. You're gonna get sucked in. You're gonna be like any other group. Who gives a shit? Like
some strings are invisible.
Right. So, but that's exactly right. It's not the visible strings. That's easy. Somebody says I'll give you $10 million, but you're not allowed to go after Chuck Schumer. We say no.
Yeah.
We say no. That's super easy.
Yeah.
Right?
On cable news, they don't lob softballs because the person handed them $1,000. They do it because well maybe they won't come back again. Those invisible things, the influence.
So let me just tell you there are two winning arguments, right? It comes, if you take the big money, it comes with two possible consequences, okay? So one is you just simply have to spend a ton of time trying to get that money. And so that means that you're in the room with really wealthy people and you're hearing them out, you're being pleasant to them. Nothing wrong with being pleasant, of course, right? But you start to slowly get infected, right? And think, well, I mean, that's a good point. Maybe McCaskill's not so bad, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the person's going to tell you that, and some might just give it to you, right? But the more time you spend trying to get that big money, the more time you spend in rooms with big money, right?
Yeah.
The second thing is it costs you a lot of time. Nobody just comes and gives it to you. It's just not realistic, right? What you have to do is court them, and the courting is the problem, right? And Zach and Shoikot and everybody else's point was spend that time instead courting real voters and small donors, right? And you'll probably get just as much money, right? We hope and we believe, and so far it's gone great, right? JusticeDemocrats.com. But at least you'll be attached. Your incentives will be attached. Everything will be attached. The time you spend will be attached with small donors, with people who gave $27, people who gave $3, people who gave $127, whatever it is, right? And you'll be serving their interests. And I thought, yeah, that's super persuasive, because I can see being influenced by in the courting process, even if you're a really good person and you don't want to be influenced by it.
Right.
Right.
So Glenn Greenwald did respond back to me. Mm-hmm, he said, I haven't changed my view since I wrote it, nor has ACLU, labor unions, and others who have same free speech views.
Yeah, well, so, see, he's wrong there. Okay, so he's right that the labor unions and ACLU have the same views. He's wrong to put himself in the same bucket as them, because he's doing himself a disservice. Labor unions are 100% biased. They spend money in politics. They spend, outside of corporations, they spend the second most amount of money in politics. Now, for them, it's an incredibly stupid strategy to keep money in politics, because the corporations are always going to outspend them.
Yes, that's right.
But they're hooked on it. They're addicted on it. And they're also addicted to the power. Ooh, I give money to that politician, he does what I want.
They would lose much less of a percentage of their power and influence by getting rid of money than corporations would. If corporations didn't have the money, they'd lose almost everything. But labor unions would still have a historically important position in American society, access, inroads into tons of actual workers and families. So it is super short-sighted.
I feel like I'm questioning everything in life at this moment, and I'm having a hard time. But I still have a tremendous amount of respect for Glenn Greenwald. I just disagree with him.
So the labor unions, they will come around. They'll come around super late if we're about to win. Okay, but until then, they'll hang on. And every once in a while, the right wing will be like, "Oh yeah, you're going to take away the right of labor unions to contribute to?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's what they're gonna do.
I mean, they might come around sooner than you think, because one, every year there's less and less union membership, so they have less money to spend. And Republicans are taking away in every way they can the ability of labor unions to raise money. So even if they still want to have the money, soon they won't, because of Republicans, and then they can finally cast off the chains.
Yeah. I mean, once they got nothing left to lose, I guess. And then the ACLU, sorry guys, not an honest actor on this one. They say, well, what if we want to spend money, right? The ACLU also has a lot of money, and they're like, we want to press on our issues, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to run ads during campaigns. Now, there's great division inside the ACLU. A lot of the people that work there realize that it is a preposterous argument to say that money is speech, and that you have the right to spend unlimited amount of money on politicians in the middle of elections, that's free speech.
Yeah.
They secretly know that's a bullshit argument.
And nobody agrees with the ACLU on everything. It's impossible.
Yeah. All right, I'll leave the ACLU for now. Okay.
John and I were having a discussion about how, look, it's unfair to think of any organization as monolithic, right? There are going to be varying viewpoints in every organization, including ours, right? And I think a mistake that happens quite often with some of the people that view our shows is they'll watch, let's say you, Cenk, and you have a viewpoint on a specific story or a specific issue. And then people think that that's representative of what all of us think, but that is not the case. And there were varying opinions when it came to this past election, varying opinions when it comes to things like Justice Democrats and all that. And so it's true of the ACLU, it's true of the Young Turks. Don't think of everyone as exactly the same in any given organization, unless you're the Blaze, because if you deviate from their message at all, you'll get fired.
Wow, that's crazy. Right?
Ooh, a rare defensive word for
So, what's her face? Guys, let me tell the producers, somebody's got to update my donors. So that's part of the point of this.
Hilarious.
Okay. Anyway, TYT
Network. It's so funny. It's ironic that you keep saying that.
Yeah. I know. Isn't it funny? Yeah.
Yes.
But they're small donors. That's the whole point.
This is all about the donors. Come on. The donors, right? That's what this is about. It just seems funny. I guess.
Yeah. No. But by the way, so some people will. So there's all these things that they think are hypocrisies, which are not at all hypocrisies. So somebody did an attack article about Wolfpack. They're like, you know, they spend most of their money on staff.
What?
Yeah, those are the guys who work, bust their ass going all across the country trying to convince legislators to get money out of politics.
Why is like, spend it on ads?
Yeah.
Do you not care about
literally.
The ads?
What? They're like, oh, they claim they're a super PAC, but they're not spending enough money in ads. What the fuck?
Right? And it's always bothered me that the Patriots spend so much of their money on players.
And on TYT, it's not a criticism we get often, so I might in fact be do a slight straw man here. But like on the membership model, right? So you guys help support the show by tytnetwork.com/join. Okay. Well, that's intended so that we then serve you guys. If the money is coming from you guys, we serve you guys. That's how human nature is. And if we're all of a sudden we turn into right wing douchebags, that money's gone. And then, oh, Sinkton, what happened, right? Yeah. Or et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you want to set up the right incentive structure so that you get to the result that you want, right?
Yep.
So that's the whole point. Anyway.
Speaking of Bill O'Reilly.
Oh yes, because I had more, but go ahead.
Because I'll forget this joke if I don't tell it. Right now, I think Bill O'Reilly is at home trying to convince his right hand that there's greater career opportunities in it for him if it jerks him off.
Oh, damn. That took a while, but I got you. I got you. No. Yeah.
I will fire you.
Yeah.
Somehow, pleasure me. Somehow his hand sighs and goes along with it.
It's like, this could really work out for you.
Can a hand close its eyes?
You know, there's super uncomfortable thought. I even hesitate a little bit saying it on air, but is...
Are we on air?
Him masturbating?
Yeah. No. That's, we were already past that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Is that... Look, Roger Ailes tried that shit for nearly 20 years at Fox News, let alone Bill O'Reilly. You tell me it never worked?
Yeah.
And he tried it all those times, and he tried it over and over again, and it hadn't worked in 20 years? Super uncomfortable thought, yeah. Right? So I feel bad saying it because I feel, don't make assumptions about anybody on air. Don't, right? We have no idea. Yeah. But you know.
But people who used to be, you could think about them.
Yeah. And if you make any assumptions about them, what we have more evidence for is that they work in an extremely hostile work environment where their appearance is constantly berated, they're told what to say and what to believe. Now, we can disagree with them and think that they're generally awful, but I still feel bad that that's basically the only place they can go, except maybe now they could be hired by CNN, to do the sort of work they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, most of the people over there are Christians, so they can ask for forgiveness.
That's true, yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, I don't know if you saw in my snarky email this morning, I very often take credit for predicting things correctly because it doesn't often happen. But Bill O'Reilly announcing that he's going to make his podcast into a place for real news. So he is reverting back to the podcast. At least for now, that's his refuge.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
That's Bill O'Reilly, new media.
Yeah. Billy, how do I download the pods?
Okay.
Except he'd be yelling, not saying it in such a nice way.
That was one of his viewers I was going for right there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll catch Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has the number two podcast in the country.
If he does, really? Slate better attack Bill O'Reilly's podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had a podcast.
Yeah.
I know.
He's making moves, man. No, he's making moves. We can't even keep up.
When does he sleep?
Yeah. He wrote a book. How do you have to, you know how hard it is to write a book. How the fuck did he write a book?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's running organizations.
And they're saying, oh, he can't run because he's going to be 79. Dude, he'll run laps around you at 79.
I feel like we need to test him for performance enhancing drugs. I can't do that.
It's obvious.
I'm obviously much younger than him.
Obvious Bernie's juicing.
Yeah, yeah. We figured it out. Yeah. So you didn't see Slate's over the top hate article on Bernie's podcast?
Oh, no, I did not see
that. Yeah, don't listen to it.
Sound quality's bad. So this is so weird because 80% of Democrats have a positive view of it. So who are they broadcasting this shit to? It's like such a small subset.
It is the bubble. It's the fucking bubble.
And they think everybody's with them.
They think everyone's on their side. And they think we're the crazy ones.
And you know the smallest group of people that Bernie appeals to? White men. The biggest group, African Americans, have the most positive 80-some percent, right?
83% of African Americans support Bernie
Sanders. So that's why when you see it, they're just louder in social media and other places than the rest of us, I think.
I hate where we are right now as a country because a lot of people and a lot of media outlets that I've loved and respected, like, really disappointed me through this past election, right? So like, why the over-the-top, gratuitous, like, hate on Bernie's podcast? Like, come on, Slate, you do good work.
To be fair, we also have to go back to what the point you were making 10 minutes ago.
Okay, that one
that
person
guy
at Slate.
Made it. Now, it could be part of a pattern. Like, Washington Post, that's not just one person attacking Bernie Sanders. That's, like, full-fledged,
like
their entire editorial board.
Yeah.
But Salon, one guy, I guess. Yeah. I don't go to Salon very often.
I don't either.
Actually, I believe it was a Slate? No, it was Salon.
It was Slate.
So, look, to your earlier point, Anna, so we're not a monolith, and there are directives at the other places. There are directives at CNN. There were directives at MSNBC. There was definitely directives at Fox News. So they can't wrap their mind around that you're allowed to have any opinion you like. You're allowed to criticize just Democrats all you like. You're allowed to, you know, disagree with their candidates. Everybody's allowed to do whatever the fuck they want here, and it just blows people's minds. They don't really believe it.
Let's make it. If Justice Democrat starts a podcast, I'm going to rip it to shreds.
Yeah.
I was doing this.
Fire. Yeah. And to the person they probably most say we all agree with, like, is Jimmy. Like, so they'll say something, they'll find something that Jimmy said and be like, Young Turk, say this. Okay.
That does happen a lot.
It does. Yeah.
And Jimmy and I, we don't agree on everything.
No.
Right? And so it's really interesting to see that.
It's frustrating
to see that because
I did not know.
We have our own opinions, our own mind, like
our That's own weird. Backgrounds, what? Our own approaches to the news, our own goals and what we're trying to get out of. Like at CNN, the on-air hosts, I mean, there's some shows that are a little bit more editorial or whatever, but they generally come up through the same sorts of journalism programs. They work the same sorts of internships and radio programs. They eventually do local news and then they become hosts. But we come from a law background, a journalism background, an academia background, a comedy background. We all have our own processes where we became progressives and learned about the world. We all hope to get something out of doing this show. We hope to present something different to you. And so the idea that you could say, because one person said this quote, y'all suck, that's ridiculous. There's quotes in this stupid little bullshit article.
Yeah.
The person clearly has never listened to you speak.
Here's
because
the thing.
You never said anything like that during the election.
He's referring to the Daily Fluffer article.
So I would like to make a few comments about it.
The Daily Slanter?
Yeah.
The Daily Slander. Oh, that's a good one.
So first of all, this Justin Rosario guy. First of all, he just completely mischaracterized this company as a whole. He mischaracterized you specifically because he made it seem like, first of all, you got a lot of heat for asking people to support Hillary Clinton.
Yes, and that's the craziest thing.
Jenk, you're like in the worst.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Damned if you don't. No matter what, everyone hates you, right? And I feel you because I experience it too. And so it's unfair. We didn't have like this concerted like effort against Hillary Clinton after she won the primary. After she won the primary, there was a mix of opinions here, and it got uncomfortable at times. You know what I'm saying?
We still criticized her.
And we still criticized her fairly, right? If she's doing something wrong, we're not going to pretend like, hey, she's completely innocent, she's doing something right. So the sense that I got from his piece is, A, he thinks we're all the same and we all have the same opinions. And then the other part is, you're not allowed to ever attack the Democratic candidate.
That's
unacceptable. That there's no point of having a Democratic system if you're just going to, by default, support someone because they have the same political affiliation as you. That's ridiculous, right? That is what honestly a simpleton does. You don't want to think for yourself, okay? You just want to see a name. It says Democrat, and you're like, I'm going to support the Democrat. That's what we do. No. Think for yourself. Not everyone is perfect. Look, Bernie Sanders isn't perfect. We criticized Bernie Sanders when it made sense to criticize him. I didn't agree with some of his viewpoints on guns, right? That doesn't mean I hate Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie Sanders. Of course, I supported him. Hillary Clinton did things that I liked. She did things that I really didn't like. I'm not going to pretend like she's all good or all bad. That's, again, what simpletons do.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's worse than that, actually, because if you think about it, they are betraying their own point of view. Like, they're accidentally revealing what they think journalism is. And they think journalism is you support one candidate and then you cover for them.
That's right.
Right.
And that's not what it's supposed to be.
Like,
it's-
and if you were a good reporter, wink, 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 you wouldn't mention Hillary Clinton's real problems, especially in a general election. But they hated it when we did it in the primaries.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
You're hurting the candidate. Wait, who who said she was the candidate?
Yeah,
that's the whole
right.
point of the primary, right? No, 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 please. We've already decided she's the candidate and you're hurting her. But I work in media. I'm supposed to cover the news, right? But the establishment's point of view is, no, you're not. You back one person, and then you cover up everything wrong that they do, and you make everything black and white, and they're an angel, and the other guy's the devil, and that's it. That's what you think, that's their idea of media.
And not only is it beyond unethical to operate that way, if you're in the media, but it's also anti-democratic. Right? Because if you genuinely believe in a democratic system and democracy, you have to give people accurate information about the candidates. You had already decided who the candidate was in the primaries. Here's the line that got to me, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. This thing was brought up during our production meeting, and I was pretty vocal about how we shouldn't even pay attention to it. Let's move on. But I read it afterwards, and there's a line that I would like to read to you. He said, "Uyghur and the Young Turks can fuck right off. They were some of the loudest ringleaders of the freak show that Bernie's movement turned into when he lost control of it."
What
freak show are you talking about? What? Are you talking about, you know, the people who supported him and then later found out that establishment Democrats sabotaged him and did everything they could to ensure that Hillary won the primary? Or is that the circus that you're talking about? It's just ridiculous. Like, you have to root for the person we have chosen for you. No, we don't. We all have our own minds. If people want to support Hillary, go ahead and support Hillary. If people want to support Bernie, they have their own reasons for doing so. This is like the most ridiculous thing I've ever read.
Yeah. Freak show is very much like the chair throwing in Vegas. Do you have video of this freak show? Where did this freak show happen? I don't understand what he's even talking about. The freak show? You mean that Bernie went on to, you know, influence the platform greatly?
Yeah.
And then go on to campaign for Hillary Clinton? That kind of fucking freak? I don't know what
remains
freak-
the most popular politician in the country.
By far.
To this day.
By far. In fact, the two most popular politicians in the country are Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
That's
and they're
right.
both the most progressive politicians in the country.
So
freaks. Freaks. Freak shows.
Freaks.
I quoted that Bernie Sanders is 61% and Hillary Clinton's at 35% now. And his response, the line right before the one Anna read to you was, blah, 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 blah. Blah.
Facts. I've got some insults coming.
No, okay, one other part.
Blah, blah, blah. I thought writing these articles was difficult. I think I might start doing it. It's apparently not that hard.
Okay, so it's not that hard.
Nothing
there's a lot
to
of bad
it,
writers
Johnny.
Out there.
You don't even have to be accurate.
Okay, so he then quotes Cenk, and the quote that Cenk apparently said, "Oh, no. Sanders pushed back against criticism after he supported a candidate who was anti-choice, right?
Correct.
So Sanders pushed back against the criticism for that. The truth is that in some conservative states, there will be candidates that are popular candidates who may not agree with me on every issue. I understand it. That's what politics is about," Sanders told NPR. So this writer quotes him. And then here's his commentary in regard to Sanders. "That's a very curious thing to say, since Hillary Clinton agreed with more than 90% of his platform." No, she didn't. They were very different candidates, very different. If you paid attention to the election and you actually paid attention to their policies, not the horse race, not the bullshit that everyone cared about during the elections, you would see that they were very different candidates, right? When you have a so-called progressive Hillary Clinton saying things like, well, you know, you have private positions and public positions during her speech to Wall Street, you know, corporatists or people from Wall Street. Well, then, I mean, that says everything you need to know about her as a candidate. She's very different from Bernie Sanders. That is not a statement that Bernie Sanders would make.
I think he's making a mistake there. What he means, I think the stat, and I don't think it's exactly 90%, I think it's a little bit lower, that they voted the same in the Senate is what he means.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's
be
trying
specific.
To make it. He's trying to make it specifically about the election now with the platform, when their platforms
so,
were very
so
different.
So if they're so similar, then why is everybody wanting Bernie to shut the F up right now?
Why is he a freak show?
Why is he freak show? And why does he, well, he doesn't get to remake the party in his image. Well, apparently it's 90% Hillary Clinton's image.
So, so what are you complaining about?
So what are you complaining about? So it's all just, so again, what it's a failed, they're just defending failure. And so that's why it doesn't make sense. That they'll any kind of attack they can use. And so today they'll say this, tomorrow they'll say he's too liberal, tomorrow the next day he'll say he's too conservative, he's really got a bad foreign policy, oh, he's really too.
Look,
so it's whatever it is, and the fact that they still go back to that Bernie bro thing was thought up in a corporate think tank. And then it was repeated. Just like, in my opinion, the whole Russia scenario, which shattered is revealed, was thought up by John Podesta and Robbie Mook the day after she lost the election or her concession speech. So when you go out and repeat stuff like that, what you're doing is repeating is stuff that was thought of. You know what? A corporate think tank intern gets his wings every time you repeat something like that.
Look, the thing that concerns me more than anything is that these people learned nothing from the election, right? They supported Hillary Clinton, and as a result, Trump won. And you would think, oh man, maybe we need to gather ourselves and figure out what went wrong and just, you know, recalibrate moving forward. But no, instead, they're super defiant and they're like, yeah, Hillary was awesome. And the reason why she lost is because of all these other things, except for the fact that she was a freaking flawed candidate, right? And look, I voted for her and I got a lot of heat for voting for her. And the reason why I did it is because I did not want someone like Trump to win. So I hear you. I hear you when you know, want to avoid someone like Trump winning. Yeah. But at the same time, like, come on, don't pretend like she was this perfect candidate. And the only reason why she lost was because of all these other factors, not the fact that she was a flawed candidate.
What pisses me off in terms of the both then and they're still doing it, the mischaracterization of Bernie's supporters online. Yeah. Is apparently they got a couple of tweets they didn't like.
Yes.
And then think, oh, well, that must be everybody. When it probably wasn't even Bernie supporters.
Right.
It was bots, perhaps correct the record bots, trying to mischaracterize an entire movement that we know from polls is they were more pro-choice than Hillary Clinton voters. They had more progressive positions on questions of both gender and race. When you say that these people are crazy, wide-eyed libs and progressives, that has a consequence that they were actually more progressive on these issues. So trying to say that they were all just white and all just male and all of that, it doesn't even fit with the way you try to characterize their supposed rock star idol.
Can I just say that if you look a little, if in that book also shattered, it reveals that Hillary Clinton even blames Barack Obama himself. So not only does she blame, you know, and by the way, so now we're not allowed to ever have a primary because Bernie, they're blaming Bernie because he attacked her in the primary. You mean that's what primaries are for? They're supposed to be there, and you make the person who wins is supposed to become a stronger candidate because of a primary. And so now we're never going to be allowed to have a primary because now Bernie's he's a pariah for actually running against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
That was his sin. His sin was he ran against Hillary Clinton in the primary. Yeah, that's
so,
it.
So these guys, we got to go on to the reporter stuff, but just last two things here. These guys say, oh, you say we're for the establishment. What does that even mean? Well, you say that we shouldn't primary incumbents. Well, that's by definition, you're for the unquestioningly for the establishment. But why do you assume that the incumbent is going to be the better candidate? Then why do you assume that primaries hurt the party? You know why they assume it, by the way, is that forces us to spend some of our corporate money in the primary when we wanted to spend all of our money, corporate money in the general election. Yeah, but how's that working out for you? You lost the House, lost the Senate, lost the White House, lost the Supreme Court, 69 out of 99 state legislatures. It's a record of failure. That strategy doesn't work. On the other hand, the Republicans primary the fuck out of their candidates, and they're routing you guys. So there is enormous empirical evidence that primaries actually help the party, don't hurt the party. The reason I call you establishment is because you're like, oh, the incumbents, my beloved incumbents, I love them so much. Don't touch the establishment. How dare you call me establishment?
And also, I mean, look, okay. Maybe I'm wrong, but super fast hypothetical, these people who vomit at the idea that you could ever have a primary, if Bernie had won the election and a few years go by, you don't think that some of these people would be seriously talking about primarying him with someone that shares more of their views, even though they have 9% the same?
Of course they would.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. The word unity, the phrase unity, is a trick. It's to say, hey, unify behind us. Unity means
it's groupthink.
Yeah, we go back to the way things were, and you support all incumbents. Do you understand what unity means? And if you violate that unity, then it's your fault and you're terrible and you support Trump. But why does unity mean that I have to unify behind you? Okay, Bernie Sanders is the most popular politician in the country. If you're trying to find someone to unify behind, doesn't it make sense that you pick the most popular person in your party and the most popular politician in the entire country? Why don't you unify behind him? Nope, not going to do it. Well, then you don't believe in unity, so shut the fuck up about unity.
Right.
Right?
It's unity if we unify behind them, but if they'll never unify. So it's not unity, it's fallen lineity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt.
That's good.
$127 from Mitch in Colorado, $200 from Praveen in Idaho. That's awesome.
Another
that there's
Praveen.
A,
nice.
There's another Praveen, our chief marketing officer is Praveen. And I love that you're in Idaho. And $250 from Peter in Maine. So let me see tytnetwork.com/go. Let me see where we are with that. Okay, 6,000 more. Excellent. Thank you, guys. Let's try to get to 1750 by the end of the show. I'm telling you guys.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you got the Savannah Cooper camera, you got the Stephen Garcia camera, you got the Adam Westbrook desk here. I know it's a ton of money, but 5K gets you one of the cameras or one of the chairs, and it could be here in the studio or it could be in the field. $1,000 gets you one of the few TYT rings left. I'm going to tell you all about that. $127 gets you the House TYT shirt. We're trying to give back something for your donations, very thoughtful donations that helps us hire reporters. So we're going to go to a video here. I want to go to Jordan's video. It's video number 8, okay? So these are the reporters that have talked about this campaign and the stories that they've broken. Yeah. So let's go to video 8 here.
Hey, it's Jordan with TYT and TYT Politics, and I kind of was the inaugural in the field guy for TYT. I was their first reporter. I was predominantly covering the campaign last year, so I went to all the primaries, all the debates, conventions, and of course, election night. I really had the honor of covering the historic movements of Bernie, the kind of historic, kind of horrifying movements behind Trump. Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of the candidates. I broke several stories on the campaign trail, including the fact that Donna Brazile, who was the interim DNC chair, was leaking questions before town halls to the Hillary Clinton campaign. So between breaking that story, then confronting her in an interview and that kind of going viral, that was really one of my biggest stories politically. What's really been great about TYT is I have the opportunity to cover that kind of nitty gritty politics, but also cover things that the corporate media is completely ignoring. The thing I'm really proud about is having reported in Standing Rock, North Dakota. I was there 7 different times. I broke many, many stories. And I think myself, along with TYT, kind of was the voice for the voiceless in North Dakota and Standing Rock. I mean, I can't tell you how many people came up to me in North Dakota saying, thank you. You are the reason I came. And it's very rare in a job, especially reporting, that you can make that kind of impact. And something you do or your stories or your reporting inspires people to take action. And that's what we're doing here. Whether it's Standing Rock and being able to activate people to go there and be water protectors. I've covered lead poisoning in cities like East Chicago, Indiana, where good people, poor African Americans, poor Latinos, poor white people are basically getting screwed by their government. And the government, it does not care. And the corporate media does not care. So I've been able, with TYT investing in me and the reporting, to go there to East Chicago several times and report on that, to go to Flint, Michigan, and show you that that is still a crisis that the media has ignored. I've been able to do other really interesting things that corporate media wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. I've been able to go on something we called the Disappearing Middle Class Tour, where we went to Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, 4 days, 5 cities, and we went and put a face to what Bernie was talking about. I interviewed people with $300,000 in student loans. I interviewed people who were supporting a family of 4 off of $140. I interviewed people who literally wife was pregnant and have been laid off for 2 years. I interviewed people that to the corporate media are not the sexy story, but I showed you that this is what's really going on in the country. Whether it's the Bernie campaign and the election, or those stories that really embody what the progressive movement is fighting for, but the rest of the media doesn't cover. The reason I'm able to do it is TYT. They're ponying up the money, and you guys are playing a big part in that. If not for the viewers funding us, I would have never had this role, and I'm living my dream. So I really thank you for all the support you've given me, the support you're giving other reporters, the support you're giving TYT to hire those reporters. It's not just reporters. I wouldn't be me without producers like Emma, or editors like Taylor, or Jake. So you are not just putting me on the air, you're helping us get producers and editors and camera people and all that. So we appreciate it and keep the money coming, whatever you can contribute to get us more reporters and more camera people and more editors. Because together, we're going to burn down the village, baby, and build a whole new one. Peace out.